Good morning, and welcome to Tech News Briefing, your daily dive into the cutting edge of innovation. I'm Arjav, bringing you the essential updates from across the tech landscape. Today is March 26, 2026, and on this day in history, back in 1979, a pivotal patent for the microprocessor was granted to Robert Noyce and Gordon Moore, the visionary founders of Intel. That groundbreaking work laid the foundation for nearly every piece of technology we rely on today, from your smartphone to the powerful data centers driving our AI future. We're covering the top stories impacting artificial intelligence, cybersecurity, tech policy, and more, drawing from leading sources like TechCrunch, Ars Technica, MIT Technology Review, Hacker News, and others. Joining me as always to break down these complex stories is our esteemed reporter, Arohi. Arohi, a lot happening in AI and beyond this week. Let's jump right in, shall we?
Absolutely, Arjav. It's been a particularly dynamic week, especially in the realm of artificial intelligence, with some significant advancements and equally significant discussions around its broader implications.
Fantastic. Let's start with some of those exciting developments in AI. Google has unveiled something called TurboQuant, an AI memory compression algorithm, and it's already sparking some humorous comparisons. What exactly is TurboQuant, and why is the internet having a bit of a laugh about it?
Well, Arjav, Google's TurboQuant is making waves because it promises a revolutionary approach to AI memory compression. It's designed to shrink an AI's working memory by up to 6 times. This means AI models could run much more efficiently, using less computational power and memory, without sacrificing output quality, which is a major breakthrough compared to other compression methods. The internet's amusement comes from its name, of course, drawing immediate comparisons to Pied Piper, the fictional compression startup from HBO's Silicon Valley. While TurboQuant is still in the lab experiment phase, the potential is enormous for making large language models more accessible and efficient.
A 6-fold reduction is certainly impressive, even if it's currently a lab experiment. Staying with AI efficiency, we're also seeing new open-source contributions. Mistral has released a new open-source model specifically for speech generation. What makes this particular offering noteworthy?
Mistral's new speech generation model is significant because of its incredible efficiency. It's designed to be lightweight enough to run directly on devices like smartwatches or smartphones. This capability democratizes advanced speech generation, making it possible for developers to integrate high-quality, on-device voice capabilities into a much wider array of applications without needing constant cloud connectivity or extensive computational resources. It represents a stride towards more pervasive and personal AI.
That's a huge step for edge AI and accessibility. Beyond these specific models, there's always ongoing research pushing the boundaries of what AI can do. We've seen discussions around ArcAGI3, a technical report that delves into advanced AI research. Can you shed some light on what this signifies in the broader pursuit of artificial general intelligence?
ArcAGI3 refers to the latest technical report from the ARC Prize, an initiative focused on accelerating research into artificial general intelligence, or AGI. These reports often detail new methodologies, datasets, and challenges aimed at achieving more human-like intelligence in AI systems. While specific details in this particular report are highly technical, its emergence signifies continued, intensive effort within the research community to develop AI that can adapt, learn, and reason across a broad spectrum of tasks, moving beyond specialized applications. It's a foundational piece in the long-term quest for AGI.
So, foundational research contributing to the very core of AI's future. Now, let's look at how AI is being applied in specific sectors, particularly security. We're hearing about a startup called Contour that recently raised $7 million from General Catalyst and Y Combinator to build an AI search engine for security video systems. What problem is Contour aiming to solve?
Contour is addressing a significant challenge in the security industry, the overwhelming amount of video data. Traditionally, finding specific events or individuals in security footage has been a tedious, manual process. Contour uses advanced AI models to allow security teams to query camera feeds using natural language. This means instead of watching hours of footage, you could simply type, "Find a person in a red jacket entering the West Gate between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m., or, "Show me all instances of a package being left unattended." This dramatically speeds up incident response and investigation, transforming security operations from reactive to proactive, and offering a new layer of precision.
That's a clear demonstration of AI providing practical, real-world utility. But beyond the technological advancements, AI is also driving significant shifts in industries and prompting important policy discussions. We're seeing companies make some dramatic pivots. The download newsletter from MIT Technology Review highlighted a battery company making a pivot to AI. What's driving this kind of shift?
This highlights a growing trend, Arjav. The article notes that Kichao Hu, a prominent figure in the battery industry, isn't mincing words about the state of Western battery companies, suggesting many are struggling or failing. This sentiment is pushing some established hardware companies, like the one mentioned, to reassess their core business. Recognizing the immense capital and talent flowing into AI, and perhaps the perceived greater opportunity or necessity for disruption, these companies are making strategic shifts, attempting to leverage their existing expertise or technological infrastructure to enter the AI market. It's a testament to AI's transformative economic pull, reshaping entire industries.
A clear sign of AI's immense economic influence. But with such rapid change, there are understandable concerns about its impact on jobs and the economy. Senator Mark Warner has suggested a bold solution to address fears of AI-driven job losses, proposing a pound of flesh from data centers. What's his proposal?
Senator Warner's proposal is quite direct. He suggests taxing data centers, which are the fundamental infrastructure powering AI, to help workers survive the transition period as AI automation potentially displaces jobs. The idea is to create a fund or mechanism to support those impacted by AI-driven job losses, whether through retraining programs, severance, or other forms of social safety nets. It's a policy response to the growing anxieties surrounding AI's socioeconomic effects, aiming to ensure that the benefits of AI are more broadly shared, and its disruptive costs are mitigated.
It's certainly a proactive approach to a pressing issue. And speaking of regulating AI's impact, Reddit is taking steps to address concerns about AI-generated content by requiring fishy accounts to verify they're run by human. What does this mean for users, and does it restrict AI content on the platform?
This move by Reddit is a targeted effort to combat malicious or misleading automated content, like spam bots or accounts used for coordinated influence campaigns. By requiring verification for suspicious accounts, they aim to preserve trust and authenticity within their communities. Importantly, the policy, for now, differentiates between malicious automation and transparently disclosed AI-generated content. So, if a user openly uses AI tools to create content that adheres to platform rules, it's generally acceptable. The focus is on ensuring accountability and preventing the anonymous spread of potentially harmful or deceptive AI-driven narratives.
So it's about transparency and combating misuse, rather than an outright ban. However, the influence of AI isn't always benign. A Guardian article detailed how some AI chatbot users have had their lives wrecked by delusion, with stories of marriages ending and significant financial losses. This sounds quite alarming.
It is alarming, Arjav, and highlights the darker, often unforeseen, psychological impacts of overly immersive or deceptive AI interactions. The article describes individuals forming deep, emotional attachments to AI chatbots, sometimes to the point where these virtual relationships become indistinguishable from reality for the user. This can lead to severe personal consequences, including neglecting real-world relationships, financial exploitation facilitated by the AI, and a profound break from reality. It underscores the critical need for ethical AI design, responsible usage guidelines, and increased public awareness about the potential for psychological manipulation or delusion when interacting with advanced AI systems.
That's a stark reminder of the ethical considerations surrounding AI development and deployment. Moving from the personal to the systemic, let's talk about privacy. A recent NPR report revealed that government agencies are buying commercial data about Americans in bulk. This raises significant privacy concerns. What's the scope of this practice?
This report details a concerning trend where government agencies, rather than obtaining warrants or adhering to strict legal processes, are circumventing privacy protections by simply purchasing vast quantities of commercial data about Americans from data brokers. This data, which can include location information, browsing history, and other sensitive personal details, is aggregated from various sources like apps, websites, and connected devices. The scale is immense, affecting potentially millions of citizens, and it allows agencies to conduct surveillance without the traditional oversight designed to protect civil liberties. It's a loophole that's raising alarm bells among privacy advocates and some lawmakers.
That's certainly a troubling end run around established privacy safeguards. On a potentially more positive note for privacy advocates, the EU Parliament made a significant move regarding chat control, reportedly stopping mass surveillance in a voting thriller. What happened there?
This was indeed a nail-biter for privacy. The EU Parliament, after intense debate and a close vote, managed to reject certain elements of the proposed chat control legislation. This initiative aimed to introduce mandatory scanning of private messages and photos for illegal content, particularly child sexual abuse material. While the goal is laudable, critics argued the broad, indiscriminate scanning amounted to mass surveillance and was a disproportionate infringement on privacy. The Parliament's decision, though not a complete dismissal of the issue, prevents a blanket, client-side scanning approach, pushing for more targeted and privacy-preserving alternatives for child protection.
So, a victory for privacy, for now. However, another report suggests the EU still wants to scan private messages and photos despite this vote. What's the nuance there, and is the fight truly over?
Unfortunately, the fight is far from over. While the Parliament rejected the most intrusive aspects of the current proposal, the underlying push to implement some form of chat control remains. Member states and other EU bodies are still advocating for systems that would involve scanning private communications. The nuance is that the debate now shifts to finding a solution that satisfies both child protection goals and fundamental privacy rights. It means discussions will continue on what constitutes acceptable scanning, whether it can be done securely, and under what legal framework, ensuring that future proposals don't reintroduce mass surveillance through the back door. Privacy advocates are remaining vigilant.
It sounds like a continuing high-stakes debate. Let's shift our focus to more overt forms of surveillance and state involvement. A convicted spyware chief recently hinted that Greece's government was behind dozens of phone hacks. What are the details surrounding this very serious allegation?
These are incredibly serious claims. A spyware founder, reportedly from Intellexa, the company behind the Predator spyware, has offered the most direct suggestion to date that the Mitsotakis government in Greece authorized the hacking of numerous phones. The targets allegedly included senior Greek government ministers, opposition leaders, military officials, and journalists. While direct proof linking the government to the spyware purchases and deployment has been elusive, the convicted chief's comments serve as a significant insider testimony, adding weight to long-standing suspicions and investigations into widespread state-sponsored surveillance within Greece. It further implicates a government in using sophisticated tools to monitor its own citizens and political figures.
That's a significant development in an ongoing scandal. And on the topic of surveillance technology, we're seeing advanced tools being deployed by law enforcement. BRINC's new police drone, The Guardian, is quite remarkable, using Starlink, carrying Narcan, and capable of chasing vehicles at 60 miles per hour. This sounds like something out of a futuristic movie.
It really does, Arjiv. BRINC is calling The Guardian the most capable 911 response drone ever. The drone's integration with Starlink provides robust, long-range connectivity, crucial for maintaining control in remote or challenging environments. The ability to carry Narcan means it can deliver life-saving medication quickly to overdose victims in hard-to-reach locations. And its impressive 60-mile-per-hour pursuit speed, combined with advanced imaging, gives law enforcement a powerful tool for vehicle pursuits and tactical operations, potentially reducing the risks associated with human-led chases. It represents a new frontier in public safety technology, albeit one that raises questions about surveillance and police use of force.
These drones are certainly pushing technological boundaries. Now, let's talk about vulnerabilities and threats in cybersecurity. A major iPhone hacking tool, DarkSword, has leaked online, putting millions of iPhones at risk. What do users need to know about this?
This is a critical concern for iPhone users. DarkSword is an advanced iPhone hacking tool, initially discovered by security researchers along with another tool called Karunia. The leak of DarkSword online means that sophisticated capabilities to exploit vulnerabilities in iPhones are now potentially accessible to a wider range of malicious actors. While the specifics of the exploit remain closely guarded by Apple and security researchers to prevent widespread abuse, the general advice for users is to always keep their iOS software updated to the latest version. These updates often contain critical security patches that address vulnerabilities targeted by such tools. The leak underscores the constant cat-and-mouse game between security researchers and threat actors.
So, immediate action for iPhone users. Update your software. Beyond current threats, Google is also bumping up its Q-Day deadline to 2029, a significant acceleration in the timeline for moving away from current encryption standards. What is Q-Day, and why is Google urging such a rapid transition?
Q-Day refers to the theoretical point in the future when quantum computers become powerful enough to break current standard encryption algorithms, specifically RSA and elliptic curve cryptography, which secure vast amounts of digital communication and data today. Google's acceleration of this deadline to 2029, much sooner than previous estimates, indicates their increasing confidence in the rapid advancement of quantum computing. They are urging the entire industry to move to post-quantum cryptography much more quickly. This transition involves developing and implementing new, quantum-resistant encryption algorithms to safeguard data against future quantum attacks, ensuring the long-term security of the internet and critical infrastructure. It's a race against time to future-proof our digital world.
A race against time for sure. And finally, shifting gears to broader tech policy and its impact on society, we've seen a landmark jury verdict in Los Angeles finding that Instagram and YouTube were designed to addict kids. This is a massive legal precedent. What were the key findings?
This landmark jury verdict is indeed a significant blow to social media giants. The LA jury found that both Instagram, owned by Meta, and YouTube, owned by Google, were intentionally designed with features aimed at making them addictive for children and adolescents. The verdict concluded that these design choices contributed to harm suffered by young users, leading to addiction. In a related outcome, Meta, as the biggest loser in a second child safety trial verdict, and YouTube, must now pay $3 million to a woman who became severely hooked on their apps as a child. This signals a growing legal trend of holding social media companies accountable for the mental health impacts of their platforms on young users.
These verdicts could have ripple effects across the entire social media industry, forcing a re-evaluation of platform design. And speaking of policy, away from the tech giants, we've also seen reports that the Trump administration is staffing its science and technology panel with non-scientists. What implications does this have?
This report suggests that the list of appointees to the science and technology panel during the Trump administration included individuals who lack traditional scientific credentials or backgrounds. Critics argue this aligns with a broader pattern observed in the administration, a perceived hostility towards established science and expertise. The implication is that such a panel may struggle to provide informed, evidence-based advice on complex technological and scientific issues, potentially leading to policy decisions that are not grounded in scientific consensus or best practices. It raises concerns about the role of scientific integrity and expertise in government decision-making.
Certainly a contentious appointment with significant implications for scientific policy. Arohi, thank you for guiding us through these important stories today. Your insights are always invaluable.
My pleasure, Arjav. It's a fast-moving world, and keeping listeners informed is paramount.
And that wraps up another edition of Tech News Briefing. Before we go, here's a fun fact for you. The concept of a robot itself was actually coined in a 1920 Czech play titled R.U.R. by Karel Čapek. The word comes from robota, meaning forced labor, or drudgery, long before any actual mechanical robots existed. It's a fascinating insight into how our imagination often precedes our technological reality. Thank you for tuning in to Tech News Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more news from the world of technology. Until then, have a fantastic day.